Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Hi again, everybody. Good morning to one and all. Alongside my man, Evan Giddings, who is not at 100%, and that's what happens when you work 75 consecutive days, young fellow. This is Dan Bone, by the way, as we welcome you in to 95.7 The Game for what else? Warriors this week. What do you say?
Well, kind of like the Golden State Warriors right now. A bit banged up. You know, got some guys out. Feel a little bit underneath the weather, but I appreciate you putting me on your back today, Dave.
Well, I typically do. The thing's getting a little sore after all.
All righty.
But let's get into it.
Got my tea in, honey. I'm ready to rock, man.
The pipes are everything, so you got to take care of those, man.
It's good to see you, by the way.
You know, you overwork yourself, and you have to... Actually, you know, quite frankly, though... Well, some of you have a sort of the deep chord. You have a deep voice to begin with. But a lot of people, sometimes when they get to that raspy voice and they feel as though they need to shut it down, like John Facenda back in the day. We'll get into Warriors this week. My apologies. But we're going to just bear with me.
I need more on John Facenda.
We go down this rabbit hole for a moment to start things. John Facenda, who is the voice of NFL films. Like,
yeah, that's
you
right.
Know,
yeah, yeah.
The Raiders, they called it a dance party. Anyways, John Facenda. He used to smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. He was a longtime Philadelphia newsman. And a lot of people, just when they get to that raspy sort of like they feel as though they haven't slept in 3 days, that's actually sort of the voice that they're trying to obtain.
Well, that's why it feels like a lot of those old-timey guys, like those are the classic broadcasters, because I don't know if it's American Spirits or Marlboro's, whatever their poison was. It literally sounded like they jumped on the mic right after ripping a heater.
Oh, that's the way it was.
I mean, I feel like that's just how it goes. Nowadays, it's frowned upon. And I don't know. Maybe we've lost a little bit of that baritone as a result.
No doubt. Really quick, the last
thing. Want to get into play-by-play, just smoke more cigarettes.
Last thing I have to add, I did a show in New York once, just a one-off. And I was doing a sportscast for the ABC affiliate in New York City.
This wasn't the one at MetLife Stadium.
No. That's WWE.
Let's
meet the NFL. So this is at KABC in New York, WABC in New York. And I sat down in my at the desk, right? And I'm ready to do sports, a little nervous, first time I've gone in front of the Big Apple. And as I look below me, I see that there's a little built-in shelf underneath my desk where the quote-unquote sports desk is, like the anchors to my left, the weatherman's to their left. And so afterwards, I said, hey, this is kind of unusual. What is that? And they said, yeah, that will always be there. and it's been there since the beginning of time. That little shelf that you see under your desk, that was for Warner Wolf, who back in the day would keep a martini at all times sitting at the ready, which he would drink in between breaks or at the commercial. And we're never going to, you know, it's sort of this iconic, almost like it belongs in the Smithsonian. I'm like, oh, that's a beautiful thing.
Well, that reminds me of one of my favorite shows, Mad Men, where it feels like every single day walking in with just something to put in their cup. Because
happy hour was like at 3:30 in the afternoon constantly.
It's all they did. And the whole show is about the dialogue that happens during these conversations about big business and suited and booted type of affairs in New York City. And then they walk in every single morning, and the assistants got their cup of coffee and a water with some spritzer because you got to get ready and go back. Do it again.
All right, from Mad Men to the Mad Dutchman. All right, let's just get into this thing.
Yeah, yeah. What do you got, Dan? What do you got?
Well, no, Quentin Post, first of all, let's give him his flowers. What a performance. And big win for the Golden State Warriors. They're all big at this point.
Yeah.
They take care of Chicago after getting down, not looking good after a quarter, after a half. I want to say they were trailing at the half. And then unlike the night before, because that was a back-to-back, and they just did not have their sea legs in that first half. But unlike the third quarter of the night before in Sacramento, a completely different story with the bench this time around, where they just ran Chicago out of the gym. And it was anchored by Quentin Post, the rookie out of Boston College at 7'1" from the Netherlands. It was anchored by, let's not leave Guy Santos out of the headlines as well. But
the second unit.
But just sort of your thoughts on what went down, and or is this another one of those games that we point at and said, hey, this could be the launching pad going forward in terms of good things about to happen to the Golden State Warriors?
Well, I think it indicates a couple things. Like it highlights what they've been missing, and you can see why they wanted to go out and court a Lauri Markkanen, or why Vucevic, who didn't perform that well, but that kind of player is something that absolutely, it almost feels necessary for this team at this point because they don't have enough perimeter shooting. Quentin Post, he shot 10 times in 14 minutes. Like, the Bulls were not guarding him whatsoever. And he just made everybody's job that much easier. So the fact that they were able to put a shooter out on the three-point line who's 7 feet tall, it makes sense why they've been going after this kind of player for so long. And I don't know if Quentin Post is necessarily the guy who's just going to, like, all of a sudden take over and become that three-point marksman. But he absolutely adds a dynamic they haven't had. And in a point where Draymond's been hurt, Kuminga's hurt, Pods just came back after missing 12 games. I thought he played pretty well. You're going to need depth, especially in your front line. Like, he's their only seven-footer. It's pretty crazy. I think tonight he's going to have a much bigger test than the Bulls because that's, I don't know what you saw. To me, that's like an unserious basketball team.
Yeah, no, they're silly.
They just rolled the ball out, and I think they thought the game was over after they went up 20-6 in the first quarter and then just kind of rolled over. But Quentin Post was the story of the game, and in one breath, that's a good thing because he's an emerging talent and he, you know, as a rookie. But at the same time, it's also, that's kind of where the Warriors are. Like, they're looking for those small victories in addition to one, of course, they got to get back to 500.
Yeah, they haven't had a seven-footer, I'd say, since Bogut, Festus Ezeli.
Durant. I mean,
Durant's is he a seven-footer? I always think he's like the more 6'10 and a half, 6'11. We'll give him 7 feet.
But he's the closest thing to a stretch four or five that they've had. And I know he's not a traditional center, but I mean, seriously, like, Dario Saric is probably the closest thing that they've had to Quentin Post, and he got played off the floor last year.
It's interesting, because it's almost as if the Warriors, and I don't know, there's a lot, this just danced into my head. I don't,
PBJ?
I should sort of vet this out before I speak. Think before you speak, but it almost as though the Golden State Warriors, through the years, have sort of rejected, while the rest of the league is zigging, the Warriors always sort of zagged, and that, yeah, okay, I know, that's your formula for winning NBA, stretch five, get a five and get out and stretch the floor and be a seven-footer that can shoot. We don't succumb to that. That's not how we play. We do it with Looney. We do it with smaller guys because we're the Golden State Warriors. We subscribe to a completely different formula in terms of winning, and it's proven because we've won championships and you have not for the majority of the teams out there. And now it's almost as if someone took their arm and they're twisting it and they're like screaming uncle, okay, we need to be like everybody else. We need to go get a stretch five. And it's clear that it's not only a stretch five, but it's offense.
Yeah.
I didn't care if this guy's a 7-footer or he's 5'11". They just need someone who can put the ball in the hole.
And I think they've been telling you that because who's the one acquisition they've made in a trade? It's been for an offensively-minded player. Like, Schroeder can guard. You know, he's pesky. Had a nice poke away in the backcourt against the Bulls in Sacramento. He's feisty. But they got him to get buckets. Like, they got him to help solve some of their half-court issues. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that, not just with Schroeder, but you start to see Santos play more, Post getting into the rotation, Moody getting some burn. Like, those are all players that I think are more offensively geared than defensive. Like, the two players that kind of got phased out against the Bulls were Gary Payton II and Trayce Jackson-Davis. Those are more defensively-minded players. So the Warriors are trying to figure out how to generate offense, and I think Post absolutely fits that because the one thing that he did immediately, and he hasn't played with him much, but he can play with Steph. And that's really the most important part of their offense. You got to be able to play with 30. So the fact that he can take at least a little bit of pressure off of him and open up the floor a bit, I think that's massive for a 36-year-old.
Did you hear the story he relayed about Steph Curry where he was talking about how they asked him, I think it was Anthony Slater,
said,
you know, what's your relationship with, like, Steph Curry on the floor? And he's like, yeah, it's the second time I've played with him. But it's like it's more about off the court. And you hear about these things that people just don't know what it's like behind the scenes. And it was like 3 in the morning, and he was at SFO, and he needed a ride and couldn't get an Uber. And of all the people, everybody was taken off. There was Steph saying, hey, man, I got you. Let's go.
So there were a couple of theories about this. Number one, so Post is obviously not familiar with the Bay Area, right?
Yeah.
So he said he was probably a 20-minute detour or a 30-minute detour out of the way. I do need to know where he was going because Curry lives in Atherton. I think Post was headed to Redwood City. It's not really a detour. So, Steph, I don't know if he's as selfless as people are making him out to be at this point.
what are you implying here?
Well, it's not like he drove him to Vallejo and then had to go all the way back down to the South Bay.
So it was essentially on the way, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but Post didn't know it because he's not familiar with the 101. No, it was a really nice gesture, and I think it's just another one of those stories about Steph. Like, you'll never hear about it unless another player says something.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's got to be tons of those stories throughout the years.
Oh, God, yeah.
Where he's like, dude, just get in the car. It's all good, man. Like, we're all here. We're all on the same team. That's another reason he's the selfless superstar.
They always talk about how practice, when they do practice, is always prolonged by Steph because he's always providing teaching moments for the younger players. But it's not as though he's just saying, hey, listen, do this, and it's not a quick exchange. He literally will sit there and say, no, this is what you got to do, and he gets involved. Meanwhile, Draymond will be there, hands on hip, like going, come on, man, let's go. But that's Steph. Steph literally is invested in the well-being of others, and that, you know, that's apparent throughout his entire career.
The one thing he will also make you do is wait for 45 minutes to an hour after a game to go to the podium. Because as much as I love Steph, I mean, can you get the workout in a little bit faster? Like, you don't have to run 6 miles after you've already ran.
Is that what he does?
6 miles on the court. Yeah, he goes through a post-game workout. That's why he takes so long. Because usually, like tonight, for the Lakers. So if I was going to the game tonight after buzzer, Warriors win, they beat the Lakers, LeBron James and Anthony Davis will sprint damn near to the podium, unless they're talking at their locker. But they just want to get out of there. Like, J.J. Redick will do his post-game presser area right outside the Lakers locker room, and then Bron and AD typically will do the post-game together, so they just kind of knock it out, and they're out of there in like 30 minutes.
Mm.
Steph doesn't go to the podium if the game ends 5:30, game ends at, you know, 7:30. He's not at the podium till like 8:30. I mean, this guy is going through workout after workout. He's got to get his, you know, he's got to take a shower. He's got to get food. Just think about the media a little bit, Steph. You know, we got places to be.
You know, that's probably the biggest adjustment that players have to make when they go to the collegiate level to that of the NBA. Now, it's not as drastic as it once was because it's much more apparent. But LeBron James would always talk about this. When you're younger and you're in college, you just roll out of bed and you go and you play. When you get to the NBA game, you have to realize now that, yes, you're only 19, 20 years of age, and you're absolutely yoked and ripped as a young man. That's when you have to put the work in. It's just beginning. in terms of what you have to do like that as Steph. And that is getting in the weight room. That is putting in all the training. It's just starting as you get to the NBA level. It was never like that.
Yeah.
Once you got to the NBA, you just, you know, you traveled, things were mailed in. When you got to your mid-30s, your career was done. And now it's changed entirely, especially with the specialized training. Once these guys start making some money, they put these trainers on their payroll, including dietitians. And, you know, and Steph is a product of that. But I don't think it was like that for them early on in their career.
No, I think the pivotal moment for Steph, I believe, was the 2016 finals, where he realized that, like, he needed to get stronger. And I think he was, you know, he's 25 or 26 years old at the time, so it was a while ago, but it wasn't as noticeable, I think, during the KD years. But the last championship run, like, if you just post a picture of Steph at age 34 in 2022 and a picture of Steph at age 25 when you're in your athletic prime, he's all beefed up. Like, he's got the scratches too from all the cuts that he takes, but he's in a completely different physical form than he was 10 years ago, which is amazing because he's closer to 40 than he is 30.
Yeah, I don't think we realize it because you see him every day and it's so gradual. But if you look back just, you know, a couple of years ago or even 10 years ago, there used to be a thing called comic books when I was a kid.
Oh, I love them.
And there used to be a little ad for, I don't know, it was like some sort of protein shake that if you want to get big and you want to get the girls, you know, drink or eat, whatever it is. And they would show this little caricature of this kid on the beach who was scrawny, getting sand kicked in his face. And they show the before and then the after he drinks his protein and he's all beefed up. And that's like when you look at Steph Curry back in the day. I mean, he was this wiry little baby face kid. And now, I mean, he's still baby face, but he resembles nothing like what it is he was when he came into the league.
I mean, he basically got Popeye's spinach and transformed himself into just an absolute
That's
monster.
Good knowledge.
Yeah.
Olive oil.
one of my favorite cartoons.
So, the Golden State Warriors, and I you know where I'm going with this, but I do want to recognize, because I don't want
to be... Is Quinn Post a part of the rebuild?
I don't want to be perceived as a hater, but I do think that I was listening to you. I texted you yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sipping.
So 95.7 The Game is bar none. Like, if you want your sports talk radio, I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm an employee here. It's just simply this is where it's happening.
Especially on Saturdays from 9 to noon.
But typically, through the week, you know, we all have our certain go-tos, right? And for me, it's Steiny and Guru. If I'm in the city or if I have an opportunity to turn on the radio while I'm driving from point A to point B, I'll turn on Steiny and Guru. And I was a little surprised, mm-hmm. I have to tell you, that the Quinton Post unfiltered love, the overwhelming support for the young man.
The four-hour fawning.
Yes, for Quinton Post, especially by the grizzled grump, and that being Steiny, that was on board, although he was, you know, keeping it steered towards the middle a little bit.
Yeah.
Was a bit surprising. So I text you just to sort of take the temperature, because usually my man Ev is just going to, you know, he'll keep things balanced and saying, yeah, it's a bit of a love fest, but we got to feed the beast. But no. There was Ev saying, come on, man, Quinton Post is a real deal. I'm paraphrasing here. So are we all just in on Quinton Post in terms of being the future and the missing piece for the Golden State Warriors going forward?
Well, you kind of have to be right now. I mean, now I think that later tonight he's going to get a real taste of the NBA, because he's going to have to play against Anthony Davis, and he's not Nikola Vucevic. Vucevic is going to hang out at the three-point line, not really do much in pick and roll, can't defend. I mean, Quinton Post, that was as much of a shallow end game as one could ask for, right? You don't just jump into the Pacific Ocean. You get in from the beach, you dip your toes in, you wade into the water. That's a good game. Tonight, he's going to be in the deep end. Tonight, he's going to be against one of the games, if not the best two-way big in basketball, in Anthony Davis. So, and he's going to have to play probably 20 minutes. Like, they need him. So, from that perspective, I'm buying in, because he offers something they don't have. And that is a stretch five, shooting, but more importantly, spacing. Like, one thing that my mind went to is, how does someone like Draymond fit? How does Kuminga fit? How do these players that have had trouble kind of, I guess, working together because there hasn't been enough spacing, can Quinton Post sort of unlock that? That's where I think he's legit. Is he going to score 20 every night? No. He might not even be a 10-point per game scorer. But what he does is I think he's going to allow other pieces to play with more freedom. And those players are the guys who are going to drive the bus. Curry, Draymond, Kuminga, to some extent Wiggins. Schroeder, I think, also is going to benefit from him. So it's not just about what he does, but how he impacts others. That's the legitimacy of it.
Is he a starter?
No. 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 He'll probably come off the bench behind, I would say, Looney tonight. And actually, I didn't text you this because I wanted to save it for you. Your boy's in trouble.
TJD?
Yeah.
You keep telling me this. For months you've been telling me this.
Your boy's in trouble. And now there's a legitimate reason for him to not play. Because Looney's always going to be the guy that Kerr leans on. And if you're going to find minutes for Post, they got to come from somewhere. And Trayce Jackson-Davis is still shooting 30% on balls outside the restricted area. Quinn Post, meanwhile, can at least shoot 40 from three. I really like Trayce Jackson-Davis. He's obviously a far superior defender, better athlete, but I just feel like the guy that's impacted the most by Post is honestly Trayce Jackson-Davis.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because there is a parallel, a strong parallel between the two, which I'll get into, because I wanted to keep this first segment.
Yeah, let's get all the
light. Let's talk about Quentin Post playing well. We threw sugar at Steph Curry as being this remarkable person, as we all know, but why not restate the obvious there, that he's a nice guy?
You hiding your hammer over there?
Yes, because I am going, like, we're fully loaded, and I'm going to have to go after you in the next segment. The other thing I do want to mention is we continue to talk and applaud one Quentin Post.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's by accident. You mentioned TJD and Quentin Post, that the Warriors got two guys who came into the league at 23, 24 years of age, respectively, and spent their entire collegiate careers in good programs, in Boston College, and then in Trayce Jackson-Davis at Indiana, and Mike Woodson. I always talk about this. Woodson played in the NBA, coached in the NBA, so he knows how to teach the finer points of the NBA to some of these bigs. And after the Kuminga, after the Moody experiment, I think the Warriors were looking for sort of, let's get a little balance here. Let's not have to wait 3 to 5 years to see what it is that we have. Let's get guys who are a little bit more seasoned, hence TJD. And to your point, where, yeah, he has to, what did you say, he's wading in the water, now he's getting thrown into the deep end.
Yeah.
It gets accelerated, I think, a little bit more, because he's not a wide-eyed teenager coming into the league. And I think that was done by design. Would you agree that the Warriors, after what it is that they've gone through with some of the teenagers recently in the lottery, purposely went out and got guys who are 24 years of age in their first season in the NBA, like that of TJD and now Quentin Post?
Yeah, I think they know who they are, like they're finished products. Now, that also means there's probably not a whole lot of room to develop or grow. You know, I think Quentin Post can get better defensively, but like, this is who he is. He's a 7-footer. That is a little physical, and he's going to shoot around 40% from three. Like, that's who he is. He's not going to jump any higher. He's not going to be able to work on his dribbling package. He's not going to be hitting step-back 18-footers. He's not going to dunk on anybody. This is who he's 24 years old. Like, he's older than Kuminga, Pajemski.
He's as old as Zion Williamson.
I mean, yes, exactly, because he played 5 years in college. But I think Kerr is a little more inclined to trust those players because they've played enough basketball that there's a situational awareness that they naturally have, that players who played 1 year of college or played in the G League or are a year removed from high school just don't have. And I think the fact that the Warriors have identified a couple of these guys in back-to-back drafts, that signals that those second-round picks, those guys are there because they're older. They're there because they're finished products, and they're there because they're a little limited. So let's just get guys in that know how to play basketball. That's where I think the Warriors didn't have a first-round pick last year, but this upcoming draft, when they do, wherever that is, I'm interested to see who they take, what kind of player they take, because it does feel like Mike Dunleavy Jr. leans more towards the guys that know how to play the game as opposed to the projects or the upside type of talent that could burgeon, could become something great, but you're going to have to wait a while and really kind of water that plant.
Well, let's continue to sugar this thing and plump up this turkey before I completely destroy this kid coming up in the next segment.
Dude.
But one of the things that...
He's a nice guy.
No, he is.
He seems pretty cool, honestly.
Yeah, he really does. And they really need, I think, a personality. And I think that personality is only going to get bigger. You can see it. There's a twinkle in this guy's eye. He's got something to say. And I think that as he gets more comfortable and gets a little bit older, that's going to come through.
Well, that's part of it, too, right? He's got a good podium game.
Yeah.
He's been answering questions from the media for 5 years. He played at an SEC school and an ACC school. He's been in Starkville, Mississippi, and he's played in Boston. Like, he knows how to answer questions. He knows how to not get too high, too low. He's played for a couple of longtime coaches. Like, he's a hooper. He's an NBA player.
Yeah. And one thing, just getting back to his fundamentals that you learn at the collegiate level, and I don't want to sound like Joe Coach here, but one thing you can clearly see that jumps out at you is that he's always in the ready. You know, they always talk about be ready to shoot. When he catches, notice when he catches, he's in a shooting position. Like, that's one of the things that you always see coaches teaching young players who have to get their balance after making a catch out on the wing, or they've got to put it on the floor to get into some sort of a rhythm so they can get their jump shot. Watch Quentin Post when he catches. He's in the ready. He's ready to shoot. And it may not be there. He may give it up on a pass, but you could just see fundamentally that this guy is sound. He's not blessed with the greatest athleticism or the greatest athletic tools, but you can see the fundamentals are just oozing out of this guy. And just keep on an eye on him tonight. Every time he catches out high or out on the wing or out in front, he's in a shooting position. And that's just clearly right off the chalkboard in Hoosiers in terms of learning how to play this game fundamentally. So there's a lot to get excited about. We got one more minute in this segment, and I'll give you the last 60 seconds to continue to blow up this kid before, of course, we know what's coming, impending doom on the next break.
Well, I don't have to do it. Number one, you're going to. Number two, Anthony Davis is going to do it, assuming he doesn't get hurt, because that's another part of Lakers-Warriors that seemingly happens every single game. Anthony Davis will get hurt. But if he plays the full 48, Quentin Post is going to get introduced to what the NBA is really like. Because if he truly is a stretch five and he's going to play, you're going to have to guard the Davises. You're going to have to guard the Jokic's. You're going to have to guard a lot of top flight players that are not just athletic, but they're skilled. And they're not afraid, unlike Vucevic, to step out and really get in your grill. So again, the threat of him being able to shoot should provide more spacing. But he himself, I think he's going to have a tough night tonight.
Well, but to your point, and again, just to sort of extol the virtues of this young man by the name of Quentin Post, is that when's the last time that AD played the Golden State Warriors where he had to get out on anybody? As a five, am I going out to stretch on Draymond Green?
Hell no.
Am I getting out on Trayce Jackson-Davis? Am I going out to guard Kevon Looney because he's 25 feet from the hoop? This might be the first time that you may actually have an opening in the house where Steph Curry has some room to actually operate in terms of getting to the basket, because you're removing that big 800-pound elephant from the room. So I don't know the last time AD actually had to step out and extend on anybody, and tonight might be the night because the Warriors have a quote-unquote stretch five. We'll continue to talk about Quentin Post, and yes, I do have... The shoe is going to drop, and I do have some things that, not only about Quentin Post, but about the Warriors going forward and why this is a major, major concern as we continue. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, Warriors This Week, just getting started.
Post, pick and pop, left wing. He got another one! Oh, Quentin Post! His fifth three of the night.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, talking about Quentin Post. Warriors This Week, as the Golden State Warriors coming off a victory over the Chicago Bulls in emphatic style, running away and hiding in that fourth quarter, pivotal third quarter, in which Golden State just put it into another gear. As the Warriors try and make it two in a row. You know the Warriors, I read this somewhere, but the Warriors have not won three games in a row since early November. I want to say like November 6th.
Since they started 12-3. Yeah, they've had two back-to-back wins since that point. Minnesota and Washington, I think, was the most recent one. But real quick, Steve, can you bring that beat back real fast? So this song, Tweaker, which is
LiAngelo
Ball.
Yeah.
The Warriors were playing this with 3 minutes left during a timeout during the Bulls game, because Lonzo's on the Bulls, And Lonzo was honestly dancing to it. They were down 20. The game was over. I thought it was like a troll job or something. And Lonzo was just back there gigging during the huddle. I thought it was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
I like the balls. I like, you're in on the dad. Dad, I can take or leave. But the brothers, I like every one of them.
Dude, he's up there with one of the greatest sports dads of all time. All three of his kids are successful.
No doubt. Yeah.
I mean, and I do appreciate how once the children have gone on and done their respective things, LiAngelo's apparently a rapper now, but Lonzo and LaMelo are still hooping. You don't hear from him. Like, you heard it was all about LeVar Ball until he got his kids to where they needed to go. And at that point, he's just taking a back seat. Like, when was the last time LeVar Ball was in any sort of headline?
When he was trying to sell those $500 a piece tennis shoes.
That apparently got Lonzo his degenerative knee issues. Yeah. No, but that was also like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, it felt like.
It's good to see Lonzo back on the floor. I like Lonzo.
He's
all
good.
The balls.
He
can
shoot.
Lonzo, to me, he's one of those guys that you win titles with Lonzo Ball. He's about defense. He's about connecting everybody. And his shot has got much better. But it's just good to see him back after everything that he's dealt with. I don't know that he'll ever be the same, but just good to see him playing ball again. And LaMelo's nuts. But, by the way, the leading vote-getter for this year's NBA All-Star Game, congratulations once again to Steph Curry, named a starter. How could you not? By the way, are you...
Well, I mean...
What?
He's only starting because Luka's hurt. If we're going to be honest about it.
Even if Luka's not hurt...
Start last year.
But if Luka's not hurt, Luka's not starting.
He
hasn't played enough games. He's playing like...
Oh, well, now, but I'm saying if he hadn't gotten hurt...
Oh, okay. But I'm Luka saying
Doncic
if he was
would
healthy
be the starting
right now, he's not starting.
No. Yeah. But, yes, yeah, Steph, look, he should start at Chase Center and have his... I mean, all the flowers that he absolutely deserves. The question that I have is the All-Star Weekend going to be about Steph in a, you know, a praiseworthy and celebratory way, or is it going to be, oh, my God, this guy's marooned in this building... And he's looking around at all these players that got help. LeBron and AD are together. You got Shea and Jalen Williams going to be there. You know, looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers, Mobley, Mitchell, and Garland. And there's old lonely Steph just sitting on the bench with no Golden State Warriors because Draymond's in the booth hanging out with Shaq and Kenny.
He's not going to look at LeBron and AD saying and be envious and go, ah, I wish I was like those guys because... They're essentially the same team.
KD, Booker, and Jimmy Butler are going to be there.
When I think about LeBron and AD...
I mean, not Jimmy.
LeBron, AD, and the Los Angeles Lakers, Steph and Draymond of the Golden State Warriors, they're interchangeable. You know, they're taking on a team tonight that it's like looking in the mirror. I know the Lakers are about three games better, three games ahead of them for, what are they, like in the sixth seed right now?
Yeah. Everyone's kind of...
But they're very similar teams.
Stacked up there.
You know, you hear the exact same talk coming out of the Southland. Do we compromise the future of the trade deadline? You know, it's an aging star, LeBron James, at 40 years of age. What do we do? How do we get out of this? We're void of stars. We can't shoot. The two teams really, really reflect one another, I think, in terms of where they're going and sort of the problems they're currently dealing with. Because I don't think the Lakers are going anywhere this year.
No, I don't think they can win more than a single playoff series, if they can even win one. But... Like, did you read the recent rumors about the Lakers this week?
AD?
Yeah, he wants a center.
Yeah. He's been playing the center. Well,
you are on. A center. Get your ass in the paint.
He doesn't like it.
I know. He's never liked it. He's the biggest four I've ever seen in my life. He's got a 7'12" wingspan. He's 7 feet tall. He wants to sit on the perimeter and just kind of coast, play center field, and block shots.
I would never go to the Lakers because only one of two things can happen. If you're a free agent... I don't know if that's a destination spot. I want to play with LeBron. It used to be, let's go win a title. You know, I'm Dwight Howard. Let me go to, I'll do anything. I'll give a body part to play out in Los Angeles and finally win that championship. The JaVale McGee's of the world. Now it's like, why would I go to L.A.? Because, you know, after a couple of games or after a couple of months, I'm going to get reviewed by the president and the GM. And that's not Rob Pelinka and company. I'm talking about... You know, AD and LeBron James are going to pass judgment on me and determine as to whether or not, you know, I fit in or not. There's just too much drama over there.
Well, you're going down there for the Kendrick Lamar, the Women, Weed, and Weather. Like, you're not going there to play basketball at a super high level. You're going there to live in L.A. And our thoughts and prayers, obviously, down to everybody that's been affected by the fires. But the Lakers are no longer at a point where they are I think, viewed as contenders. They're viewed as entertainers, and they're going to be in the news cycle no matter what, but I don't think they're competing for a championship this year. Neither are the Warriors, but in that respect, they are in a similar place where they have these aging superstars. I know AD's not as old, but I think he's in year 13 quietly.
30, 31, I want to say.
Yeah, he's 31 years old, but he's played a lot of basketball, and I don't know, like, LeBron's kind of, he's not holding the franchise hostage, but is he going to come back next year? Is he going to retire in 2 years? What is the remainder of his future going to be? You know, they got as many questions about LeBron as the Warriors do with Steph, I think.
You know, you're talking about AD barking this past week about how he wants a center because he wants to go back to the four spot. Well, what's he going to do? He's not going anywhere. Like, this bluster on the part of even LeBron James, who keeps quietly re-signing these one-year deals, he's entrenched in Brentwood in Southern California, and AD knows that his wagon is hitched to LeBron James, whatever it is that he's doing going forward in his NBA career. So stop. Stop with that, because we know you're not going anywhere. Either one of those guys. And I don't know, to your point, if that's a good or a bad thing for the Los Angeles Lakers and their fan base.
No, but if we are going to talk about this game, though, like, they are a tough matchup for the Warriors. Always have been.
Because they're big.
Yeah, they're big. They're physical. They control the tempo of a game. Like, they manhandled the Celtics a couple nights ago when the Warriors were kicking the Bulls' ass down in SoCal. The Lakers were basically just taking care of business with the Celtics, and they didn't even have a strong beginning to their second half. So the fact that Anthony Davis, like, I think he's their best player. I know LeBron is, you know, he had 20 and 14 and 6 in that game, and he's still putting up big numbers, but if Anthony Davis is healthy, it's going to be a real challenge for the Warriors, especially without Draymond Green, because for as offensively challenged as he is, and he's had a roller coaster ride of a season too, but he is someone that makes things difficult for Davis and has for a long time.
Well, getting back to Quentin Post, it has always been a bad matchup for the Golden State Warriors. That was pre-QP. So now that we've got Quentin Post, does that change the dynamic? I talked about how
BQ
now,
before Quentin.
I talked about how Anthony Davis can just hang out in the paint and be disruptive because he's a good defensive player and he's good at blocking shots, and Steph Curry has nowhere to go. No one does. But he's going to have to extend on Quentin Post. Does that change the dynamic? We'll find out coming up in a matter of hours later tonight, of course, right here. You've got Warriors Live.
I think it's going to be Grandy tonight.
Grandy, Warriors
he'll
Live.
He'll be at Chase Center tonight for pre and post. But, and you're right. The Warriors haven't played with a player like Post who just demands attention, whether he's going to shoot the ball like he did against Chicago or not. You even saw against Sacramento that he could take a little bit of pressure off of other perimeter players. It was just that down the stretch of that basketball game, nobody could make a shot. And Curry was taking 30-footers. Wiggins was blowing layups left and right. But there were openings to score. It's just a matter of putting the ball in the hole. But I also saw, again, a couple days ago, like, Anthony Davis is not, like, he has to guard Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis doesn't play in the paint. He's taking 7 threes a game. And Davis, that's where he's unique. When he's at the peak of his powers, he can guard the three-point line, he can guard the paint, and I would say until Victor Wembanyama, there hasn't been a poster child for a better sort of all-around defender as a seven-footer. I mean, he's the most versatile defender that I've seen up until Wemby came along.
All right, so here we go when it comes to Quentin Post.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Now listen.
Floor's yours.
Don't get this crooked. The Lakers, I asked you what time the game is tonight because I'm looking forward to tonight's game thanks to Quentin Post. He's rejuvenated this team. It's been the proverbial shot in the arm.
5:30.
It's exciting. Quentin Post, I mean, all eyes on him as far as I'm concerned. I can't wait to see what the guy is going to do tonight. But here's the problem going forward is that, and maybe this goes back to Steiny and Guru, by the way, my go-to when it comes to 95.7 The Game in that all-star lineup.
Appreciate it.
There was Guru talking about that now they've got their guy. Like, it's maybe you don't have to go out and make that trade. You don't need to go get Vucevic. You don't need to go get a stretch five, or you don't need to bolster this team because it's been under your nose the whole time. It's been in-house. You got him right there at the end of the bench. He's the kid from the Netherlands. By the way, did you know that Holland has the tallest people per capita in the world?
No, I didn't. Yeah. Well, wait, Holland or Denmark?
Well, Denmark. The Netherlands.
Oh, gotcha. I'm a big fan of Danish soccer, but basketball players don't really know too much.
A lot of the Danes and a lot of people from the Netherlands, a lot of the women are extremely tall, and they play professional volleyball in Italy. Italy's very big for professional volleyball, and so a lot of them will play over in Italy. That's where they all go, but they're the tallest people in the world.
Huh, I did not know that.
So, Quinton Post, very tall indeed, and a guy who can shoot, but it's almost like the worst thing that could happen to the Golden State Warriors. I'm still, and I know, because here we go, the show's just getting underway.
Please explain.
I'm still a proponent of this team, instead of trying to catch the Lakers and going forward and thinking of, hey, we're only three games from whatever.
You want to catch the Jazz?
I want to go in the other direction. I want to get in the lottery. I want to hit reset. I want to get a single-digit draft pick. Or I want to step to the plate and give me my 3% chance of landing Cooper Flagg. I want to take a swing. I want to get to the plate and make a big swing here. I don't want to middle any longer. That's a place where teams go to die.
Hmm.
That's where you become irrelevant forever. And what does Quinton Post do? What it does is that it reinforces. You know what he is? He's like, you're familiar with Greek mythology. It's like the sirens. What were they, like half... like half beast, half woman?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, the ones that
they would
come out of the water.
And, yeah, they would sing the sailors to the rocky shores, and they would eventually crash their boats and drown.
Yep.
And that's what Quinton Post is to a certain degree. No, no, don't hit reset just yet.
Well, he's old enough to be in Homer's Odyssey.
Yeah, don't. Homer's Odyssey, Gnaz. Don't hit reset. Don't blow it up. No, no, no. You got an opportunity here with me. I'm a 7'1" guy that's the stretch five you've been looking for so long.
You hear this guy, Pasta?
And now you don't need to make drastic changes because you got me and I've been here all along. It's fool's gold. And while I like him and we'll see where this goes, that's not the answer. The NBA, and especially the Western Conference, the good teams are not comprised of guys who go 57 overall. Or 52 like that of Trayce Jackson-Davis. It's not as though everybody missed on these guys. There's a reason why. And while he's a good player, he's still, in my estimation, a fringe player. What you need are game changers. What you need is when you think about bigs, it's not Quinton Post, it's Chet Holmgren. When you think about bigs, it's not Quinton Post, it's Wembanyama. When you think about bigs, it's not Quinton Post, it's Jaren Jackson Jr. It's boys that are ripped, that are athletes, that can make a difference. But because this guy comes out of nowhere and hits a couple of threes, suddenly, it's like, wait a minute. It's almost like the Giants, Pasta. Just before the trade deadline last year, they sweep the Colorado Rockies, and our man Farhan's like, well, I don't know that we need to be.
We got life.
You know? We don't need to sell. We don't need to blow this up. I think we can actually make a run at the playoffs. The sirens are singing, baby.
And there's not one not named Quinton Post. All right, I thought you were going to go in a completely different direction. A couple things off.
I might.
Number one. You know Draymond was drafted in the second round, right?
No, he's the exception to the rule.
You know Jokic was drafted in the second round,
I know.
Right?
Another exception to the rule.
It sounds like you think that Quinton Post is like the next coming of Dirk Nowitzki. You think he's going to impact winning that much? Like, I like the kid, don't get me wrong.
No, I'm saying he won't.
Well, then...
the interpretation is that he will. To your point is that Draymond and all these other guys came in the second round, so everybody's like, well, we don't need... to blow this up because we found another diamond in the rough, much like we did a year ago with Trayce Jackson-Davis.
But if you don't think that he's that good, then he shouldn't help them win, right? And then they can crater out regardless.
No, what I'm saying is that what it is that he's doing right now is creating a false sense of identity and or security that you don't need to get drastic. Hmm. Whereas maybe just a couple of days ago you were thinking about getting into the lottery. Just a couple of days ago, you were thinking about making that huge trade. Now, I don't think that they should be active at the trade deadline, but I think that maybe because all that's been shelved or put on the table because of what it is that Quinton Post is doing, it's a very dangerous thing to subscribe to.
Well, I do know that Vucevic's agent was at Chase Center a couple days ago. He's also the agent, I think, for Pods. Like, the Warriors are talking to the Bulls about Vucevic. Like, he's been the guy, right? Where I thought that you were going to go is... don't let Quinton Post blind you from the fact that You need that kind of player, but he's not the player. Like, in my mind, what Quinton Post does, it means that...
I'm saying that sort of indirectly. It's sort of...
Oh, so like you think the fact that they've had success now for a couple games with a stretch five makes them more inclined to go out and swing to get that kind of player?
No, it's because they've had success that they won't go get that player, that they don't need to be active because they think they have found what it is that they've been looking for, and it's been in-house the whole time in Quinton Post.
Yeah, and I think that's good for multiple reasons. Number one, you either figure out if you can play or can't play over an extended period of time. Number two, you legitimately get a look at what an offense could be with a stretch five. That's something you can address this summer. I don't know if you address it at the deadline, because apparently the hang-up is Vucevic, who seems like the most likely target. Bulls want a first-round pick. Warriors don't want to give up a first-round pick. And I wouldn't either. And it's not because of Quinton Post. Like, I just don't think Vucevic is all that impressive.
Plus, he's another guy. He's, what, 34, 35?
Yeah, but, I mean, at the very least, he can shoot. You know, he's a 20-10 player. I think a lot of the numbers are a bit hollow. He hasn't contributed much to winning in Chicago. But he's, I think, had a couple postseason series. He's got some cup of coffee in the playoffs. Like, he's not a bad player. But I just think there's two schools of thought, which is Quinton Post means that we don't need Vucevic, or it means we actually should go out and get him because he's just a better version of Quinton Post. I subscribe to the former, which is I think you just got to play the kid and see what you got and see if there's actually some sustainability to this. And that's why, again, I think tonight is probably... Like, I think there are going to be some big takeaways from this basketball game because Post has never played against a player like Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I don't think you can take too much away from what it is that he did last night. And even if he takes the big middle of a donut tonight and doesn't score, it's still part of the growing and learning process. And there's a lot that this kid has still got to get under his belt before we can pass any real judgment on who he is as a basketball player. Let's get out to the nation's capital. He's one of our favorites. D's hanging out in D.C. What's up, D? How you been, buddy?
D.
What's going on, Coconuts? How you guys doing?
Awesome, man.
EG, what's going on with you, man? Are you all right? You sound like you have a head cold or something.
Flu game, D.
Oh, okay. Just checking on you, man. Hey, Deb, I agree with you 1,000,000% about what you just said, man. I hope the Warriors don't get fooled like they got fooled last season by the trade deadline. I think it is vital, it is important that they make a move, one or two moves, just to give Steph Curry the opportunity to win, man. Because if they approach this as lazy as they did last year, forget about it, man. It'll be over for this organization, man. It'll be over for that. Because I don't see any way Steph Curry at 37, 38 next year is going to be a great player, the great player that we know that he is right now. You can already see faults in his game. You can already see that his health is failing. And you already know what Draymond is right now, right? Draymond, in my opinion, should retire. At the end of this season, Draymond should retire. So this is the opportunity to go out and make a play for an opportunity to win. And that's this year. You should take advantage of that now. That's all I got, brothers. Have a great Saturday, man.
Strong as always, D. Don't
you
be a
too,
stranger.
D.
We look forward to you next Saturday.
Yeah, just be careful with those D.C. brunches, D.
I don't know if they should D.C. brunches.
Dude, brunch in Washington, D.C., I have heard. I mean, that's like being out until 4 a.m. in New York City. Like, those brunches go hard.
What are you talking about? Brunch, the meal?
Yeah. Dude, like, everyone...
That's a staple in the nation's capital? That's something they do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a common activity in the South in general, but in D.C., a couple of my buddies say people dress up like it's the Kentucky Derby.
To go to brunch,
to drink a lot of mimosas, to get a lot of calories and carbs, bagels, bacon, eggs, all the rest.
Oh, wow.
A lot of Southern comfort in the nation's capital.
I don't think of D.C. as being the South, but you're making a comparison that they're...
Well, but, you know, there's different influences, right? I mean, it's right next to, well, the DMV. We don't have to do a geography lesson, but my point is, apparently, D.C., D's got a... There's a lot of nice meals that people are indulging in right about now, which is approximately like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So, well, a little late for brunch, but...
Never too late.
So here's the thing. D's, well, I don't know about... I mean, Draymond retired, I'd try and trade him. if that's possible. But that goes back to my point that I hope that we have not lost, and maybe it was never on the table, but my sentiment was that before Quinton Post is that this is a team that has to get to the plate and take a serious swing. Now, I know not everybody's on board with that sort of thinking, but whatever that is, I've mentioned Zion Williamson. I'd be in for Zion.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You've got to
a serious swing as far as resetting.
Improving this basketball team. Quinton Post is not that guy. Quinton Post is not somebody that you can build around. That's the point I'm trying to make here. He could be a nice basketball player, but that's not... You need stars, and you need superstars, and you've got to go out. And in order to get lucky and or to find the next SGA or Jalen Brunson, you got to be active. The only reason they got those guys is through trades. And you've got to be willing to be a bit of a riverboat gambler. And you're in a position now where you have to go out and do something a bit drastic and be a bit risky. That's the only way you can rebuild and head in the right direction. To me, again, this is not a recipe, despite what it is they did against the Chicago Bulls, for joining the upper tier of the Western Conference. And I'm talking about being one of the top two or three seeds. This is, to me, when I look at the Golden State Warriors, it's a team that's, as Bill Parcells once said, you are what your record is, and they're a 10 seed on a good night. And I think that there's one of two ways to look at this. Either there's only one way, and that is to go backwards and to get into that lottery and get a single-digit draft pick. You have to continue to think about a rebuild. And my only concern when it comes to Quinton Post, and this isn't necessarily a reflection on him, I just hope that it doesn't deter or it doesn't alter that thinking of what should be the collective mindset of the Golden State Warriors that we still need to drastically improve this roster.
Well, I do want to get into that more on the other side because I think he also indicates something about just the, I guess, Dunleavy's philosophy, like his approach to drafting, his approach to development, his approach to players, because he's had some hits, but there is something missing. We can dig into it on the other side. Also, Santa Cruz Warriors color analyst, Dr. Joaquin Wallace, is going to join us at 10:30. So he saw a lot of posts. He has an idea about how they've developed a few of these players.
Oh, right on.
Has got some thoughts on the Warriors. So he's going to join us at 10:30.
Joaquin Post.
Dr. Joaquin Wallace.
Dr. Joaquin Wallace joining us coming up in a matter of moments. All in, SF. We see you. The rest of the callers, hang in there. Got to get to a break. We'll continue to talk about the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about one Quinton Post when we continue here with Evan Giddings and Dan Abone. It's Warriors This Week. Back with more after this.